This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket. It's easy for us in the year of our Lord 2026, living in this country, to take light for granted. It may be rare, in fact, for any of us to experience complete darkness, even when we don't have the lights on. If you live near other people, there are street lights and other homes. And you flip a switch and the light comes on. It's easy for us to take light for granted. Until, of course, there's a power failure. Then we have to dig out the flashlight from the drawer, perhaps light some candles, and we get a little reminder of how light is really important. When Jesus offered this teaching, his hearers would have known how ridiculous it would be to light a lamp and put it under a basket. People in that part of the world 2,000 years ago usually lived in one-room homes. The whole family and perhaps even some of the cattle would be sleeping in one room. And so when you lighted that lamp and put it on the lampstand, just as the book says, it would give light to all in the house. So of course you wouldn't cover it up because people need light. You might have to get up in the middle of the night and you need that candle. Maybe for us, the equivalent would be to say, no one flips the light switch and then unscrews the light bulb. Why would you do that? It's ridiculous to cover up the lamp after you've lighted it. And yet, we who follow Jesus need this reminder to let our light shine before others. This light, of course, isn't about us. When Jesus tells me and tells you to let our light shine before others, it's not about how awesome we are, how fancy we are because we went to church today. It's not about that at all. The light is about the true light. The beginning of St. John's Gospel starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," a couple of verses later. And he is the light that gives life. The darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is the light that gives life. And the darkness has not overcome it. He says also in St. John's Gospel, "I am the light of the world." Jesus is the light. He has always been the light. He will always be the light. And the darkness has not overcome it. So when he says, "Let your light shine before others," it's the grace and mercy that he came to offer shining forth in our lives. It's just like if I have a candle and I light another candle, the first flame isn't diminished. When I light the second one, the light only spreads. When we let our light shine, we are spreading the light. It does not diminish the light of Christ. It makes it brighter and helps people see in this sometimes gloomy world. It strikes me that if Jesus had been offering this teaching to Episcopalians in the 21st century, he might have said, "Episcopalians, let your light shine before others. I'm not kidding. Do it." Episcopalians are known to be a reticent bunch when it comes to talking about our faith. I don't know if that's true here at St. David's. Maybe it's not. But by and large, Episcopalians are a quiet bunch when it comes to sharing our faith. But Jesus tells us to not be that way. He tells you and me to let our light shine before others. I heard a speaker many years ago quote a made-up statistic that sounds true, and I've used it in the years since, and no one has ever corrected me. And it is this: the average Episcopalian invites someone to church once every 40 years. Inviting a friend to come along to church for many of us is a one-time event in a life, according to this statistic. We need to change that. And not just inviting people to church. That's not really the point. The point is to let the love of Jesus Christ burn brightly and show forth in this world. Because this world needs that witness. Also, if you're a regular here at this Episcopal church or another one, every time we baptize someone or remember and renew our baptismal promises, we all make a promise, a bunch of them, but one of them is, and I quote, "Will you, by word and example, proclaim the good news of God in Christ?" I will, with God's help. Oh, oops, I just promised God and the congregation to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. I promised to tell people about Jesus. Not easy to do, but there it is. It's our promise. And it's a teaching from our Lord and Savior Jesus. If we say we follow him, we have to do what he says. Here's a very practical reason why we should do this. It's easy to get filled with despair at the headlines. Say, I'm so tired of reading bad news. I wish there was some good news. Oh, I wish there was good news. My friends, you and I know the best news that has ever happened in the entire history of the universe. If we want the world to be filled with good news, it's easy enough. All we have to do is proclaim that good news that we know. The good news is that God loves us, and he loves us so much, he sent his son to teach us and show us and die for us, and his son, Jesus, was raised for us. Herod, the local functionary of the working as a vassal for the Roman Empire, the most possibly powerful empire in history, tried to extinguish God's love by killing Jesus Christ on the cross. They thought they could silence and put away God's love. And of course, he had the cooperation of a mid-level government functionary just doing his job in Pontius Pilate. Those two guys and all the people working with them tried to put out God's love, and we know they failed. Because God's love cannot be silenced. God's love cannot be extinguished. The Herods of this world always imagine that power and might gets their way, that they will triumph through coercion and power and might. But the Herods of this world, all of them and all their ilk, never get the last word. Love always wins in the end. And that is amazing news that we should share, and share it happily. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in one of his sermons, said, "Hate does not overcome hate. Love does that. Darkness does not drive out darkness. Light does that." If we want the world we live in to be filled with the light of grace and mercy, it's as easy as making it so. Lighting the second candle and the third candle and the fourth candle and the thousandth candle doesn't diminish the first candle. The light only grows. I tried really hard to think of a superb example of what it looks like when we let our light shine before others. And I remembered an incident that happened during the height of the apartheid era. Jim Wallace, in one of his books, writes about this moment. The government, the apartheid government, had scheduled and then canceled a political rally because they were afraid of what might happen. So Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "We're just going to have church then." And a church full of people gathered at St. George's Cathedral to have church. The police came in all their military gear with their machine guns to surround the cathedral, to intimidate and coerce and frighten God's people who gathered to pray. While Desmond Tutu was preaching, the military thugs broke the doors of the church and entered and stood in the aisles with their combat gear and their machine guns to try to scare God's people. Some of them had notebooks and they were writing down who is here, what's the preacher saying, to try to frighten God's people. Desmond Tutu, and if you ever saw him speak or have read about him, that man had joy all the way to the core of his being, and it could not be extinguished, even though he did some pretty hard things. And while he was preaching, he looked at all those thugs there to intimidate and frighten, and he said to them, "I see you. I see you all. You are very powerful. But I worship a God who cannot be mocked. Your side has already lost. Why don't you come over to the winning side?" According to Jim Wallace, the congregation erupted in joy at the boldness of Archbishop Tutu saying those words. The congregation stood up and started dancing. Dancing. They opened the doors of the church and they went out onto the streets dancing. The police looked at them and they didn't know what to do. All they could do was back up and make space for God's people to dance. That, my friends, allows me to glorify God because the light shined and the darkness could not overcome it. I don't know exactly what you and I are called to do in this moment, in this city, in this nation, in this world, but I do know this. You and I are called to let our light shine before others for the sake of the gospel. Not so that we look good, but so that people see the beauty of grace and mercy and glorify God and realize that the powers and principalities do not define the reality of this world. Our world is not defined by sin, evil, and death, because sin, evil, and death never get the last word. Our world is defined by grace and mercy and life. Grace and mercy and life always, in the end, get the last word. Herod sees an empty cross. The apartheid government sees dancing people. What will the world see when we shine forth with the radiance of Christ's grace and mercy? Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.